Hi, this is Off the Clock, our weekly check-in on arts and culture. I'm Janet Saidi. On this edition, we'll hear another voice from the series My Farm Roots, where Harvest Public Media takes a snapshot of rural life. But first, we'll get spiritual with a piece from the Columbia Faith and Values Desk. When author Pam A. Basse suffered the loss of two family members and the end of a relationship, she embarked on a unique journey. She visited a different place of worship every week for a year in search of guidance. That experience became a book called My 52 Weeks of Worship, Lessons from a Global Spiritual Interfaith Journey. Kristen Torres, reporting for KBIA and the Columbia Faith and Values Desk, spoke to Basse before her appearance in St. Louis this weekend.
In 2009, Pam A. Basse went through the motions of someone raised and schooled as a Christian, but she wasn't too active or connected with the faith.
I went to church except what I didn't. I prayed except what I didn't. Once I had to deal with some really tough life questions, I realized I was kind of lazy in my Christianity.
But then, tragedy. When she saw the deaths of her father and grandmother and the end of a four-year relationship all within months of each other, she decided to give faith a second try.
After my father passed away and my grandmother passed away and I ended my relationship, I was really just tired and emotionally tired and grieving and trying to figure out how I was going to kind of come back to myself. So I kind of said, you know what, I'm going to look to God and try to figure out how I can have a more authentic connection.
So as a New Year's resolution, she spent January through December of 2010 visiting a different place of worship each week, looking for guidance in as many spiritual experiences as she could find.
I went to various mosques of various communities. I went to a Baha'i temple. I meditated with Hare Krishnas. I went to the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Zoroastrians. There were so many different experiences that I wanted to have that sometimes I had two or three in a week.
Her journey took her throughout the United States, to Mexico, the United Kingdom, and West Africa. It even took her to a gathering of Wiccans in one Chicago house, an experience Basse says gave her insight into a completely foreign world.
And so before we went in, we sat in the car, myself and my friend, we said a prayer. We said we just want to be open-minded and know that we are going somewhere where we're going to learn about how people who are completely different than us worship in a different way. But that was one of the more memorable experiences where I just had to walk wildly out of my comfort zone.
Basse says each religious community she visited was connected by a common thread, a desire to make sense of life and the hard experiences that come our way.
I kind of learned that, you know what, everybody is just trying to find a way to connect with the divine in a way that speaks to them. People who have religious lives or worship lives are trying to find kind of their moral center. What is it that's going to drive me? What gets me out of bed in the morning? What do I believe? How can I get through this life with all of its challenges with some grace?
At the end of her 52 weeks, Basse stuck with the Christian faith of her upbringing. But she says reaching out to different communities of faith is important for mutual understanding in a diverse world.
Going to a church that's in your neighborhood that perhaps you've never seen, or a mosque or a temple or a synagogue, doing something that's a little bit different, I don't believe that it means that you have to put your beliefs to the side, but just to be open. We live in such a diverse world. There's so much to be gained by being able to kind of step into someone else's shoes and see how they live.
Basse wrote about her experience in the book, My 52 Weeks of Worship, Lessons from a Global Spiritual Interfaith Journey. She's in St. Louis this weekend for the Missouri Black Expo. I'm Kristen Torres for Columbia Faith and Values at KBIA News.
It's time now for My Farm Roots, a series from Harvest Public Media in which we hear American stories and memories of rural life, because when you hail from farm country, roots run deep.
I'm Donna Vestal, editor of Harvest Public Media. I recently tracked down Tom Karst, the national editor for The Packer, a trade newspaper covering the fruit and vegetable industry. For more than 25 years, he's been reporting about issues of importance to the produce industry, such as immigration, farm policy, and food safety. I actually worked with Karst at The Packer after graduating from college in the 1980s, and I always wondered how he managed to connect so well with farmers across the country. So in an interview at his office in a suburb of Kansas City, I asked Karst about his own connection to the land.
My name's Tom Karst. I'm national editor of The Packer. My dad grew up in wheat country near Galatia, Kansas, in Russell, Kansas. And so my uncle Art was a farmer. My dad was an Air Force pilot, so he wasn't involved with farming, but we went back to Galatia, and so just to see the wheat harvest. One summer I helped Uncle Art with that. My mom was widowed, and she married a farmer in Nebraska when I was a senior in high school. And, you know, although our family had, you know, through our grandparents had farming background, when I was a senior in high school, we actually moved to a farm in Nebraska.
What did you do on the farm?
Typical things, you know, drive the tractor, irrigate, you know, which is, you know, going out in the morning and the evening, and gated pipe. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but aluminum pipe that's set along the edge of the field. And you open every other gate to irrigate the rows of corn, and then in the evening you'd switch the gates so that, you know, the other row got the water. So
do they still do it that way?
A lot of the irrigation has moved to pivot.
Right.
So that saves a lot of labor, and, you know, you can cover a lot more ground that way. Just work from really dawn to dusk. We'd come in for lunch at 10 o'clock, which, you know, you'd have to get used to all the breaks that they'd have. Like the 10 o'clock break, and then we had the dinner, which was lunch, and then you had coffee at 4 o'clock. So your day was broken up, but you definitely worked the whole day. And so I don't know if I could have done farming as a profession, because I don't know if I'm cut out for that necessarily. But there's nothing to beat just going out the door and having work to do. The work is right there for you. And you come back, and you're at your, you know, you're still at your home, and so in that way, it's different lifestyle. It's a kind of enviable lifestyle, I think, just to be there, you know, with your family on the farm. You've got everything in front of you that has to be done. So, and then you come in and have a 10 o'clock break and a 4 o'clock.
That's Off the Clock this week. To hear more stories from the Columbia Faith and Values Desk and Harvest Public Media, go to KBIA.org. Have a great weekend.